This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Joining us is Maz Compton, who's written a brand new book called The Social Rebellion: True Freedom Begins with a Cheeky Month Alcohol Free. Superstar radio host turned teetotaler, Maz.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Maz.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
It's fun having you here.
Thanks.
So, brand new book.
Yeah. Why not?
Why did you make a decision to write about this?
Well, it took me 3 years, Duncan, to produce the book. The first year was the first year that I gave up alcohol. So I stopped drinking on the 1st of January 2015.
Yeah.
So the first 12 months that I didn't drink were really interesting because I only originally wanted to stop for a month just to, like, get a handle on it because felt like my drinking – I was drinking a bit too much and a bit too often, but I didn't really know why. And it wasn't like I was out of control, crazy, rock bottom like in the movies. I was really great, like really high functioning, great career, awesome relationships. You know, everything was coming up Maz Compton, but there was this one thing I was doing all the time and I felt like I was getting a bit dependent on it. So I stopped drinking for a month, but then that turned into a year. And then the second year that I hadn't had a drink, I thought, I should write a book about that. And then there was 12 months of self-doubt and me telling myself that that was a dumb idea, no one would read that book, who do you think you are, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third year I actually wrote it.
So this seems to be a fairly regular conversation. I was at a 40th birthday party over the weekend, standing around with a group of guys, and we were all chatting, and they were saying, oh, yeah, I just feel like really dependent on alcohol, and so I'm going to do Dry July. Just to kind of reset this.
Yeah, it's a good excuse. Dry July is a great one.
Well, what are the kind of things that you experience, let's say that first month and then that first year after making a decision to do this? Because, you know, for people who kind of know Maz Compton, you're ex-radio star, and you've got a reputation from back in the day of being a bit of a party girl. So you're like, hey, let's get Maz in. She's good for a party. But now you're like, oh, I don't drink anymore.
I'm still good for a party. I just don't get wasted.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So what I would say, so I think everybody should ask themselves this question. This is my mission at the moment. This is my quest, is to get every human adult in the Western world to ask themselves this question. Am I comfortable with my relationship with alcohol? And answer honestly. If your answer is no, I'm not comfortable with it because I feel like I can't manage my life without taking the edge off at the end of a week. Or, you know what, every time I have a fight with my husband, I go straight to the bottle of wine. Or I go out drinking with my friends to forget about it. Those, for me, are red flags. So if you're not comfortable with your relationship with alcohol, my recommendation is to have a month off and see what that looks like. So see if you and hubby are having an issue or a fight, if there's another way that you can manage your emotions better without using alcohol to dilute it, suppress it, forget about it. Because at the end of the day, what I've learned is that alcohol doesn't change anything in your circumstantial life. So if you're in a bad marriage, drinking alcohol is not going to fix the marriage. It's probably just going to make you a worse person in the marriage, so it's probably going to make it even worse. So that's my recommendation. So if you ask yourself that question, am I comfortable with my relationship with alcohol? No. Go and have a cheeky month alcohol-free and see what it looks like and see what gets highlighted, and then you might want to go to a therapist, or you might want to get, you know, more connected in with church, or, you know, surround yourself with people and start having real conversations instead of dragging each other to the bar. Now, if you say to me, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with my relationship with alcohol, Maz, I don't have a problem, I'd be like, great, take a month off anyway, just to check. Because the other thing that I realized when I was drinking, I would always undersell it. So I would always say, oh, yeah, I had a couple of champagnes, which is code for like six, you know. And so I had actually learnt to lie to myself about this thing that I was doing, and then it becomes really difficult to ascertain if you have a dependency or how comfortable you really are. If you're constantly – well, that's a red flag too. If you just naturally tell people you've had less drinks than what you've had – you're obviously ashamed of the number.
Yeah.
So that's a massive red flag right there. Because if you have to lie to anyone about anything, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So, again, I think the solution for now is take the month off. And then in the month that you have off alcohol, I really believe if you do the work, and I've got a 31-day blueprint on how to do this, but if you do some self-care work, have a little chat to you, figure out who you are, what you're, you know, what you're here for, what's important to you, there'll be a transformation in that 31 days, and then you'll be able to make a better, define a better relationship with alcohol. That was my experience. So I did 31 days. My entire brain felt like I had a new one. So many things shifted so dramatically and so quickly for me that I went, I don't think I'll ever drink again. And then after month two and month three, and now it's 3.5 years, I still believe that because the benefits are self-fulfilling and they keep getting better. The reward keeps coming, the doors keep opening, and I'm just on this completely different plane now. But you've got to start with the month. You've got to start with the real hard conversation of why am I, if you are trying to cope with your life by drinking, I believe we all have the capacity to deal with the stuff we're meant to deal with without using alcohol at all.
When you say a month, now it sounds like you made a commitment at the start of a year, January 1.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the month, when January 31 rolled round, what were you thinking at that point? Were you thinking, oh, I might just keep going with this?
That's exactly what I thought, Sam. I got to day 22 or 23 was a really fundamental shift for me, and I thought, I'm going to do 3 months, but I won't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Because stopping drinking's not hard. It's just everyone else that has the problem with it. You know, that was the one thing that I found most difficult to navigate is being a human and not partaking in this societal norm of drinking. Mm. So it wasn't that I really wanted to do a shot of Fireball when Pitbull was singing Fireball at the barbecue in the afternoon. It's just that everyone gave me so much for not doing it, you know, and they are the trickiest parts. It's everyone else. Well, that was my experience anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the title of your book, The Social Rebellion, and for me, I don't know exactly this is what you meant when you wrote it, but I think it's an Australian thing. We gather around a barbecue, we drink some alcohol, it's what we do, we socialise.
We go to a sporting game and we drink alcohol. Yeah.
So is that what you're on about here, The Social Rebellion? And if that is the case, what do you think it is about Australia? I mean, it might be a worldwide thing as well, but you think it's such a weird thing to exclude yourself from that.
Yeah, the name The Social Rebellion, it really came from just me living in society as someone who doesn't drink. And I felt like an outcast, but I had to find a positive spin for that. So I started calling myself a social rebel. And I think it is a rebellious act to not drink because rebellion is about going against the establishment, you know, and so we have so ingrained in our culture, drink at everything, good, bad, or indifferent. So, like, I found in my world, it was like, oh, my friend's having a baby, let's have champagne. Oh, my friend died, let's drink gin. You know, like every expression of life and society and good days at work and bad days at work and, you know, I just got into a relationship, I just got dumped. Like, every single thing in our lives, I found there was this really immediate link to let's go and have drinks. And it didn't necessarily mean like let's, you know, lose ourselves and go crazy, but it starts with let's go and have a drink. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get people to rebel against is that people don't even question that might be not the best way to do life. And I don't think like if you want to talk about it from a faith element, I really believe that everyone has the tools or at least access to the tools if they're willing to do the work to handle everything on their plate without having a dependency on anything other than God. And that's what I learned as well. Like once I put alcohol to one side, I was able to really like dig into my faith system and figure out how to get through a bad day without drinking. Like, because there's bad days are still going to happen, right? Yeah. There's no guarantees. Like, I'm sorry, if you believe that your life is going to be perfect, you are delusional. It's not, there's never a guarantee that that's going to happen. But there is a guarantee that you can get through it if you're willing to do the work and learn how to manage your emotional capacity, if you're willing to do the work and learn how to make great life choices so that you don't end up in X, Y, or Z situation, which may cause you to want to drink so much.
Do you think that this is like one of those situations? Like you go to 21st, everyone at 21st are just partying. You know, like there's no concept of what you're talking about. You know, and then you go to a 30th, and people have started to be weathered by life. You know, major drama, major divorce may have taken place, and they're kind of rocked, but they're not thinking on this kind of critical self-assessment path. Mm. I was saying to Sammy the other day, I said the best birthdays I've ever been to are 40ths, because everyone is in this mode at a 40th where they're like critical self-assessment. What do I need to weed out of my life? How much do you think about this book is you being, you know, kind of in that period between your 30 and your 40 where you're doing this really serious self-assessment and going, what is it about my life that I want to magnify and make awesome?
Totally.
And what is it about my life that I just need to cut out because I don't need it?
Yeah, I think it's the perfect expression of that season of my life. And the reason why I penned it in a book and articulated it was I think there are so many people that want to do that but aren't sure how. Mm. And I feel really blessed that I have, you know, this really great writing gift where I can communicate what I stepped out in my life, and I can kind of handhold people through that if they're willing to go there. The other thing is just to like put it out there that self-awareness is a thing that we can all tap into. And so rather than wait until you get to the age of your late 30s and your early 40s before you start reassessing all of the bad habits you've accumulated, why don't you get it together a decade earlier and see what that decade would produce if you stopped going to the bar and getting wasted? And that's why I think it's called getting wasted, because it's such a waste of how many problems do we solve at the pub? How many apps do we come up with? How many people, you know, come up with all these ways that they're going to change the world? And then you get home and you're hungover and you write your weekend off, and then you go back to your mundane, boring job and nothing changes. And so I'm just like urging people to step outside of that for 1 second and imagine what life looks like without alcohol. And then, and people say to me, a lot, actually. They're like, you know, you're so successful. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. That's great. Like, success for me is a bit of a myth. I just feel like I have a great output because I'm not spending all of my time doing what I used to do. And so it's actually really accessible for everyone. It's not like some magic recipe. I don't have like this crazy level of skill, or I'm just a regular human that has done the work and that is able to teach other people how to do the work if they want to do it.
I think it's one of the things that, you know, from previous conversations with you, Maz, when you're like success is a really hard thing to grasp because we're all successful in our own walks. We're just unaware of it sometimes. And I think one of the things I like when I talked to you last was you said, just figure out the thing that you're awesome at and just keep doing
just
it awesome.
Just go do that, yeah.
And it was like what you've tapped into is part of self-assessment. What is it that I do really awesome?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do awesome really well.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, so one of the things that happened on this journey of sobriety for me is it must have been after the first year maybe. I can't remember. Anyway, I read a book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. You might have seen
Waiting for you to say Eat, Pray, Love.
I just do the eat part of the Eat, Pray, Love. Awesome.
So what was the book called?
Eat, Eat, Eat by Maz Compton. It's going to be my next book, a recipe book
delicious.
Called Just Eat Food. No.
It's The Delicious Rebellion.
It's called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. You might have seen his TED Talks. You've probably seen this guy. He's quite brilliant. So I read his book, and what I was able to articulate during when I read that book was it's about finding your purpose, really. I know there's Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, who I'm sure a lot of people who grew up in church are very familiar with. And Simon's take on the purpose part is, you know, less founded in faith and more just founded in science, actually, I think, because his whole thing is when you go to the center of it and start with your why, start with your purpose. Any expression of that then doesn't really matter. So for me, for example, like I worked in radio for 12 years on and off, like TV and radio, and I don't know why. I was just really, really good at it, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I kept getting offered more jobs and more money. And so that was like a really amazing decade of my life, but I can't articulate the purpose behind it other than it was just a great job and super fun. But now that I've been able to articulate my purpose, any expression of that I'm not really like I don't get upset or excited about. That's just the expression of my purpose. So my purpose now is to empower people to make great life decisions. And so any expression of that, talking to you guys about this book that I've written to help people articulate that in their lives, great, that's a win, you know?
Yeah.
But spruiking like a new vegan meal plan on Instagram, don't know if that really falls into the empowerment line, you know? Okay. And I say this too, like...
So we're not going to see you bust yoga poses on Insta anytime soon?
Maybe if it somehow falls into that purpose that I've defined, sure. But for me, because the way that I guess I look at it now is I go, yeah, interviewing Channing Tatum on the red carpet was great. I don't know how many lives it changed. The Social Rebellion, I have people emailing me weekly to tell me that they have gone without alcohol now for 7 days, which is the longest time they haven't drunk alcohol in their adult life. And I have people telling me that it's changed their marriage because they've stopped having wine at night. And I have people telling me that they're pretty sure this has changed their life for the better. Mm. And that's not to big up myself. That's just to say once you can articulate your purpose, any expression of it that fulfills that is what you should be focusing your attention on. And it makes it then really, really easy to kick ass at life.
I love that.
What? This is a hard question and I haven't read the book yet. What would you say?
Read the book.
I'm going to read the book, Maz. You brought one in. What would you say are the biggest things that have changed about your life? Now that you look back 3.5 years, the biggest things that you've gained in your life that you didn't previously have because of the alcohol.
Pass me the copy of the book.
Oh.
There's a chapter in here.
Are we going to have a reading from the book from Maz Colton?
Yeah, why not?
Do you want to play the harp in the background or some mandolin?
And now it's time for Reading Corner.
It's story time. 31 things you will experience. I've listed below 31 benefits of living alcohol-free to remind yourself of during your alcohol-free days. Use these or find your own. They are endless as a checklist to see how many rang true for you personally. Although everyone's journey is different, the overwhelming evidence of these benefits can be found. Splashed across quit drinking websites, blogs, personal stories in the news, entire movements, foundations, and communities that have been dedicated to this way of living. So do a little research for yourself, read some stories, look at what's around you. By doing the work, you'll come to understand that shared experience is a powerful thing. And once you know better, you do better. So there's 31 benefits in the book. I could probably give you 1,000 if we had time. But to answer your question specifically, Sam, so in the first 31 days, like the physiological benefits are the ones that are the most profound. So you just stop feeling groggy, you sleep better. People will tell you that you look better, the white parts of your eyes get clearer. Your liver detoxes your entire body in about 72 hours. So you'll probably lose a bit of weight in the 31 days. So it's a lot of physical stuff in the first bit of the journey. And I credit most of that to just the fact that you will sleep better. So usually what happens when we drink alcohol, because it's a poison, it's ethanol. It's what you put in your car, basically. When you go to sleep after a few wines or beers or whatever, usually at around the 2 a.m. mark is when your body is cleansing itself of poison. So your liver function works over time in your sleep to get rid of all of the gross stuff. So when you've been stacking yourself full of ethanol, what happens usually is that your liver is working so hard it will wake you up, which is why people wake up at 2 and 3 in the morning after a boozy night with that really panicky, heart-throbby feeling. It's their body rejecting everything that you've put in it. And so that's why people who drink a lot of alcohol are at high risk for liver disease. Right. But once you give your liver a break and you're not slamming yourself full of ethanol and your liver can detoxify your body properly, you will sleep better. So even though some people say, oh, I've just have a few wines because it helps me sleep better, that's just not true. You just think that. It's completely ruining your level of sleep and the depth of sleep in your circadian rhythms overnight. So because you sleep better when you don't drink, you're getting a full rest, which means you're better equipped the next day to make better food choices. You're probably going to be in a better mood. You might want to get up and do a bit of exercise. So it's this big cycle. And then after a few months, it's stuff like this, like you just are a nicer person.
That's
and
great.
People are jerks, but you have this capacity to be okay about it more. And I found as well, I just have this like overwhelming level of empathy now. And I've always been really empathetic, but it's on a whole new level now that's quite unexplainable. So what happens with that is that people start trusting you. So people just blurt out their like biggest life dramas at me all the time now. And I feel that I'm quite well equipped just to be a sounding board for them or just to be able to help them through a thing. So it's all these, the benefits of stuff that you probably couldn't think about if you're looking down the barrel of 31 days alcohol-free sounds impossible, which was where I started. But now it's, and there's more benefits to come. I know that 100%. But initially it'll be the physical stuff and then it'll be like the emotional and the mental stuff and you'll just be a better human. You really will.
Amazing.
Love it. Well, the book is called The Social Rebellion. You can get it anywhere that they sell good books, online, in-store. Can you get it at...
I think you can get it at Harry Hartock at Warringah Mall.
Harry Hartock.
It will be Jump in bookstores. Yeah, it'll be in bookstores probably towards the end of the year.
Okay.
I've just signed a distribution deal. But go to thesocialrebellion.com.
Okay, I'll do that tag website. Out again.
Yeah, just do the website.
I'll do the tag out again. Here we go. Thank you so much, Maz. The book is called The Social Rebellion. Head along to the website, thesocialrebellion.com.
That's it.
Get a hold of it. It's going to help you out, especially if this is something seriously that you struggle with. Mm. Make the decision now to change. Because what's the saying, Sam? Have you heard the saying? It goes, people don't change unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
Yes, I think that's a saying.
We might need to check that and re-record another time. But
do you know what I say? This is my catch cry. If nothing changes, nothing changes.
That's good. Much better.
I should have said that.
Maz Compton.
Thanks, Maz. Legend.
Can I ask another question, though, before we just splice it in later? Just curious, if there are people listening right now who don't drink... Like they just don't drink. It's just part of their life. They don't drink.
Great.
Do you think there's still value in this book in even cutting something else out of your life?
Yeah. I have people say that to me quite often, actually. So in the back of the book, there's this 31-day blueprint on how to live alcohol-free. Mm-hmm. But if there's something in your life that you want to change your relationship with in general, it's the same principle. It's a lot of – so just going into a bit of nerdy brain science stuff because I studied a lot to – you know, in order to articulate this book properly.
Yeah.
But when you have a thought and you marry it with a physical action, there's a better chance for it to embed itself in your being. So in the 31 days, it's you know, like one page of written word of what I want you to realize and think about is happening in your habit formation in the pleasure center of your brain is basically what we're trying to tackle here. And then there's a physical action. So every day there's a daily practical mission. So some days it's like go for a walk in nature. Some days it's like bake something sweet because your sugar cravings will go through the roof if you stop drinking alcohol and you're a massive booze hound like I was. And so doing the two embeds it into your body better and you've got, a better chance of redefining your relationship. So, if it might be coffee or it might be toxic thinking, it could be gossiping, whatever you insert thing that you're struggling with your relationship with here, I think that you could probably use this as a blueprint for other areas in your life. And if you are a person that doesn't drink, good on you. Because I wish there were more people with that story. And hopefully there will be.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.